T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show. And, of course, it is KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame week. I had Jim Edmonds on the show not too long ago. You can catch that entire interview if you missed it online at KMOX.com. We have Bruce Sutter tomorrow afternoon. Also, Felix Rosenquist, who is an Indy driver, will be here for the big race on Saturday night. It's the third annual Bomarito Automotive Group 500. And Curtis Francois, the owner and CEO of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, is in the studio with me this afternoon getting ready for this big weekend. Curtis, how are you? Welcome back to KMOX.
Well, I'm great, and I appreciate being here. We are right in the middle of prep for the race. It's like the circus has come to town over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. We're busy and excited both.
So I was at the baseball game on Monday night with my friend and yours, Kenny Wallace, race car driver extraordinaire, great rep for St. Louis. And we were talking about this race, and he was telling me, you know, you and I have met before. You drove me in a Corvette over at that track several years ago, fastest I've ever gone in a car, which for you was probably nothing, but that was a lot of fun. But Kenny was talking about just the scope of what you've achieved over there. So I want to talk about this race a little bit. We got a couple of segments, but let's go back in time just to share the story of acquiring that racetrack and why that was important to you. Because, and as he pointed out to me Monday night, it's not just this race. There's a lot of other things going on. And then the possibility of NASCAR races during the week that might be a possibility in the future. So take me back to why this was so important for you.
You know, for me, I felt like that I was put in a position there in 2011 to make a decision whether I was going to really try to step up and do something for the community or not. And it wasn't a matter of whether I wanted to or not. I didn't know whether I could. And so as we looked at the opportunity at the racetrack, I ultimately came to the decision that, you know, this was my chance to try to make a difference in this community. I've lived here my entire life, love St. Louis. Just live and breathe all about things St. Louis, and very much a guy that was under the radar and loved it that way.
And so, your background is real estate, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so it just so happens I'm in the real estate business in the Metro East area. Also used to drive race cars, very familiar with the racetrack. And so when the opportunity came up, I felt like, you know, I'm the guy. There's not many other St. Louisans that have that skill set to be able to do something there. And so talked to my wife a little bit about that, and we came to the conclusion that this was the right thing to do. And we've never looked back. You know, I've been asked multiple times, was it scary? Was it this? Was it that? It really wasn't. I kind of took it day by day, and what came my way, I felt I was doing the right thing. And my goodness, now I look back and said, I can't believe I took that risk.
Well, because look, if we're being honest here, and this is timed well for a variety of reasons, but if you're Jim Cavanaugh, if you are Carolyn Kendall Betts, and you're taking a shot at a soccer franchise with all the excitement here in St. Louis, and the sport is really heading in a great direction, that's one thing. But you got a big piece of concrete over there that didn't really work for several years before that, and you decide to move in, buy a racetrack, and say, okay, let's see what we can do with it. That's a little different scenario, isn't it?
It is a little bit different, but I was uniquely prepared from that, from the standpoint is I've spent a lot of time behind the wheel of a race car, and so I generally understood the racing business. I also understand the kind of the heartbeat of the racing fan here in the Midwest and in St. Louis, and know that it is one of the best, if not the best, in the country from a standpoint of motorsports fan support. And so I realized if we turn things around and went after that grassroots support, and you hear grassroots, whether it's on the Blues side or now right. on the MLS, it is so important to really have the support of the community, because it rallies me. When I see people having fun and enjoying our track, enjoying our community, I think we just work all that much harder.
And so what was it? When did you feel, because it was risky, there's no doubt. When do you start to feel at what point that, okay, we're moving in a really good direction?
It took a couple of years, Mark. It really did. I was learning the business side of racing, and that took a little bit of time. I've built a couple of businesses over the years, so I understand that it just takes time, and was trying to be patient and making sure that I didn't make any big mistakes. So trying to take little swings at things so that I didn't make a big mistake that would ultimately sink the ship. We signed up with the NHRA, and that has been fantastic. We sell that race out on Saturdays, and that was the big first step that really kind of put us on the map. And we cut our teeth on that event. We learned a lot. And now, as we've moved into the NASCAR truck racing series and ultimately with IndyCar, we continue to grow, do the right things, make sure that the fan is the first person that we think about in everything we do. And it seems to work, and we're genuine.
This race that's going to go on this weekend, let's kind of put that into perspective. You're expecting another really big crowd. Last year was the second year. We were talking about this. There was a bit of a conflict that weekend. I didn't even know about this, but Jason Aldean was at Busch Stadium, and that maybe drew some of the fans. So last year's attendance, was it down just a little bit?
It was down just a little bit, but honestly, we are happy we had that test, because we had a significant test of another major once-a-year type event, and we held our own just fine.
Yeah, once a year, just about 3 miles away, basically, too, right?
Right, right. And it's very much our fan base. And so we all kind of realized that probably wasn't smart to do that. So we're paying attention to our scheduling on both sides at Busch Stadium and at the racetrack. And, you know, going forward, those are the lessons that we learn. And this year we had more forethought for sure in our scheduling.
Remind me, when you were racing, and some of the stuff I forget. I can't remember what happened last hour. What type of racing did you do?
So I did primarily sports car racing. So like the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, those type of racing, sports cars.
When it comes to the open wheel racing and this type of excitement, what people are going to see this weekend, that's something that people around here haven't been exposed to as much with all these other types of racing, right? With the NHRA and with NASCAR and with the dirt races that I saw Kenny do a couple weeks ago.
Right. It's just a whole nother type of racing. You know, IndyCar is the fastest, and their moniker is the Fast and Loud. It is the fastest racing in the United States, over 200 miles an hour at our racetrack. It's also kind of a glamorous type of international racing. And so there's multiple different countries represented, not only in the fan standpoint, but from the driver's standpoint. So a little different than other racing that we do, and certainly something that you have to kind of see and hear and experience to take home that memory.
I've never been to the Indianapolis 500. It's always been one of those things on my bucket list. And one of the reasons I never got there is because often many years, for 16 years out of the last 25, I went to the Kentucky Derby, and it was kind of hard, especially when you lose a lot of money at Churchill Downs, to turn around and go to Indy. But that's just one of those experiences that I'd really like to see in person. Is immensely popular, and I'm guessing that a race like this has a pretty good regional draw as well. Do you keep track of how many people are coming from Chicago, Indianapolis, and the other cities?
You know, we certainly do, and we do a significant amount of advertising actually in those markets.
Sure.
And we found some very fertile ground for fans in those markets, and so we have bus trips coming from Indy that are bringing people from Indy, and so we love that because we're building that camaraderie with Indy and the Indy 500, bringing fans there to experience our track. It's a different flair, but still something that they enjoy, the racing, but they just kind of see the way we do it here in St. Louis. It's a neat opportunity to interact with those fans.
Curtis, hang on. We're going to come back, talk with more. Curtis Francois, we have the big race coming up this weekend, the third annual Bomarito Automotive Group 500 presented by Exalta and Valvoline. We have one of the drivers. Do you know Felix Rosenquist? He's coming in here tomorrow.
I do.
Yeah, so We'll have a little chat with him and get inside the car a little bit tomorrow afternoon here on KMYX. More with Curtis coming up.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
I'm looking forward tomorrow to having another driver in here, Felix Rosenquist, who's an Indy driver. He'll preview this race. Curtis Francois is with me in the studio. He is the owner and CEO of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. The third annual Bomarito Automotive Group 500 is on Saturday night. So I was telling you during the break, went down and saw Kenny race at Peevely a few weeks ago with my friend Roger Brand, who's going to do traffic in about a half an hour, and he comes in here and tells me an interesting story about you. Roger, how are you?
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and the story I told you was about Curtis, and about, it was back in like 2000 or 2001, right in the early 2000s, and I was, my son had just been diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, so I was thinking, what can I do to help raise money? And of course, I love racing, so I'm like, hey, let's do racers for kids. So I had a t-shirt made up, and Gateway was great back then. It was going by Dover Motorsports, probably, but I got the track, and we had to go rent the little portable construction light you see on the highway, because we raced on the road course. There's a road course on the inside of the infield. That's what makes this place so great. It has so many uses constantly year round. All these different groups, you don't realize how much is going on there every day. But so we raced around the clock with go-karts, and Keith Freiber, who owns Margay Racing, and they're the basically the biggest manufacturer of karts in the USA, provided the karts, and we raced for 24 hours around that track, and Curtis was one of the drivers.
24 hours.
So yeah, 24 hours nonstop.
Do you remember that, Curtis?
Oh, I remember it. I'm not sure I knew what I would bargain for when I sat in that seat, but we had a great day that day. I believe Robbie McGee also.
Yeah, Robbie. And that's the funny thing. Robbie, the 98, was he the Indy 500 Rookie of the Year in 1998? And he drove those carts for maybe 30 or 40 minutes. He got out. He goes, I can't drive these things. I'm like, you drive cars at 200 miles an hour.
That's funny.
But he's used to the downforce. And one thing I want to talk about, you know, the Indy 500, that's the pinnacle of the Indy League. The thing I love about Gateway is, you know, the Indy 500, you get a seat, you see one turn of the track. So you see the cars come by. I mean, they come by pretty quickly, but it's a 2.5 mile track. You see them in one turn. Gateway, you see the whole thing. And the other thing, maybe you should talk about if you want to, but the layout of this track, I think, is the most challenging oval on the circuit because it turns one and two are really tight, and then three and four are more wide open like the bigger ovals. So they really have to dial that car in for two different types of tracks for one race. So I think it probably makes it a lot more challenging and a lot more exciting
for
the fans.
How long is the track overall?
So we're a mile and a quarter.
Yeah,
and to Roger's point, so that was something that attracted me to the track when I originally looked at it. It really was different than a lot of the mile and a half tracks that you see that are built all over the country right now. And fortunately, the world has kind of come back to, hey, we like the shorter, more challenging racetracks. And it just so happens we have one of those right here in the St. Louis region. So I repaved that racetrack to bring IndyCar back in. So it's a state-of-the-art paving job there, and we're actually the example for a lot of new tracks that are going to pave. They're coming to look at what we've done. There's just a lot of things behind the scenes. We try to do it right. We try to take advantage of the things that we can, which is a great location 5 minutes from the arch, multiple different venues throughout the racetrack. I recognized that back in 2011 and said, hey, we got to save this thing.
What about the go-kart track? Because, and I've never done this, I need to do it. How often is that open?
Oh, the go-kart, okay, he's talking about the Gateway Kartplex, but you can talk about that. But that's on the infield of the course. And that's you're right, that's something that's open to the public. But
Is that open then on non-race days all the time?
Yes, the Kartplex is open on a regular basis. We have, call it a ride and drive, so you can come anytime you want. Just check the website to make sure that it's not rented. We do a lot of private track rentals to companies that are doing team building experiences. We have our own racing league called the Ignite Series, so that's grown. We opened that in 2014. Keith Scharf is the one that runs that for me, does a fabulous job, and we've built a great camaraderie over there. A lot of people renting garages and just racing their carts with their kids. A lot of fun.
So what's the future hold? I mentioned at the beginning maybe some NASCAR weeknight races. Kenny was talking about that. Is that a possibility?
So I can tell you what we've been working on for years is making sure that we position the racetrack to be attractive to the sanctioning bodies. One of those certainly is NASCAR. We have a Can-Am NASCAR race. We have a truck race, a NASCAR truck race. But clearly there's two more races within the NASCAR family that we would like to track to Worldwide Technology Raceway. What I can do is make sure that we are a vibrant track. We have good crowds. We operate the track well. We try to innovate, and we certainly do that. And I think with all of those things in mind, plus just the what's going on here in St. Louis from a sports standpoint, we demonstrate that we are a town that will support its own, that will support motorsports, hockey, soccer, golf. It doesn't really matter. People are passionate about their sports here. Fortunately, we have a great venue that I think is attractive to NASCAR.
So, you know, I'm a novice, if not just completely ignorant when it comes to racing, and I had that great experience down at Peavey a couple of weeks ago. But when it comes to a race like this, speak to the issue of technology. I honestly don't know how much technology is helping the fans. For example, if you're a fan, you can rent, ignorant, I'm just going to ask, but you can rent headsets, right, at these races to hear the radio activity? Is that something you can do this weekend?
Yes, you can. For sure, those are scanners. Those have been around for a long time. But I think as we've partnered now with Worldwide Technology, we have realized that enhancing the fan experience in the seat versus on the couch.
That's kind of like what my question is. Yeah. So what's happening? What's evolving along those lines?
Well, let me just give you one example. 5G is going to change so much on the amount of data we can stream. Okay, so that might be a person sitting in a seat and having a device that can view views from 200 cameras. Okay, that doesn't happen right now. And we're looking at those types of things, saying in the future, how do we advance the experience in the seat. And that might be for motorsports. It also might be for football, might be for baseball. But there's a lot of new things coming down the road on that. And with our relationship now with Worldwide Technology, we've been to NASCAR, we've been down to Daytona, we've taken the Worldwide Technology folks down there to kind of start to ingrain them in the process. All of this, I think, is moving towards a change and a using of Gateway as a proving ground for new technologies over the years. We've had great conversations with WWT about that, and it's a bright future.
You know, you can, some of this stuff is just mind-blowing moving forward with, like, virtual reality and in having goggles on and acting like you're driving in the Indy 500, things like that. This stuff's going to keep getting better, too.
Yeah, funny you should say that, but we've seen some unbelievable things in that area, and I think that there is certainly a way to adapt that to the racing world. We're going to be looking at all of those. I mean, it's so exciting to be in St. Louis with a sponsor, a naming rights sponsor like WWT. And then we partner with Bomarito as well. So this, you know, a family group here that has just done a great job in the automotive business. You think about bringing all this together. They're supporting us. And, you know, the future is really, it's ours to kind of to make it happen. We're really positioned well, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate to have Curtis, you know, the local ownership and local sponsors, you know, for Tom Stillman and the Blues, Curtis with the Worldwide Technology Raceway, the new soccer team. I mean, I think it's really unique, and it really shows how St. Louis does get behind these things and the sports fans we have. And a lot, like I said, a lot of racing fans out there. Maybe you don't know it every day, but when you come to these events, you see it.
Curtis, were you there yesterday for the announcement? Were you too busy with the race this week?
I was watching it streaming while I was doing emails and doing all the other things that I'm doing at the racetrack. But, you know,
You're kind of part of that. There's like a family that Roger mentioned here of very influential, important people that probably, not to embarrass you or anything, maybe don't get enough credit for some of the things they're doing in St. Louis. And this soccer team is another example of that, along with what you've achieved at Gateway.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And throw Tom into the mix with the Blues.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, we all, we understand, we talk the same language because there are significant challenges in what we're doing. But the rewards are tremendous, and it's not necessarily financial, but for me, my reward is when the night's over, we've hosted 40-some-odd thousand people at the racetrack, and I look at, you know, families walking out, smiles on their faces, you know they've made a memory. And that is something, for me, that I get chills from that. That's success in my mind, that we're doing something in the community that matters. We're showcasing St. Louis to a whole new group of people nationally. Again, they, you know, as we've come back over the last 8 or 9 years, St. Louis is shining right now on so many different fronts. The motorsports front, we're right in the center of all of that.
You know, if I owned a race course like that, I'd get out there, you know, first thing in the morning, flip the lights on, and just start zipping around that.
Oh, yeah,
you ever
too.
Do that? Come on, Curtis, right? Do you just get out there and say, I'm gonna do a little driving this morning at 200 miles an hour?
I had that dream in 2011 and 2012, but boy, it didn't pan out that
no,
way.
No, it didn't work that way.
And don't forget about the weather this weekend. I mean, you and I, when we were at the you know, we were down at I-55 Raceway, Federated Auto Parts Raceway, the weather was pretty decent, but this weekend, what, 79, 80 degrees for the high in August? I mean, this is going to be, and it's a night race. That's another cool thing. With the lights on the track, this is going to be an awesome.
Not to
awesome
jinx
weekend.
Or anything. Is there any rain in the forecast?
I haven't seen any.
No, we've got a clear forecast.
Chamber
for,
of Commerce
for
weather.
Yeah, it should be perfect. And it's just a great night for families to come out. You know, our tickets for 15 and under are free. And that was something that's, we were an innovator in that. We want to make sure
15 and under is free.
15
that's
and
great.
Under is free. So it makes
I don't
it
think I knew that.
The opportunity for a family to come. And have spend a reasonable amount of money is part of what we do.
What's the purse for that race?
You know, I couldn't tell you that, to be honest with you. Thank God I don't have to pay that.
That's the sponsors, right?
That's the IndyCar group that does all of that. But it's significant, and it's really just a great opportunity for these guys to come and showcase. You know, the finest thing in racing right now is from a technology standpoint really are the Indy cars.
Is Simon Pagenaud at the race this weekend?
Yeah, our friend Simon.
Okay,
yes,
so
he's
he
there.
Will be.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm guessing, see, I don't know, but he would be one of the favorites, right, since he just won the Indy 500.
Alexander Rossi, there's a number of guys that are in the mix that have been, you know, near the top or at the top for a while. So, yeah, they're all battling. It's
what should my exacta and trifecta be at the the betting windows?
Yeah,
darn it. See, that's the one thing, man. You have me, you know, locked in for life. You put betting windows over there, Curtis. I'm down with it. Look, thanks for coming in. Congratulations on all the success. This is going to be an exciting weekend over at Gateway. So have fun with it, right? It looks like you are. I love it when you're, you know, when people get involved with something that they're passionate about like this and actually, you know, swing the bat and have some success and hit a grand slam. I think that's awesome. So congratulations.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Roger, thank you for chiming in here this afternoon. He'll have traffic for the first time in 20 minutes.
Get ready for the Cards and Brewers tonight. Emerin Total Access 550. First pitch 645. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Tomorrow on the program, it was great to have Curtis Francois in and just the amazing story. We got a lot of amazing sports stories and community stories with the soccer announcement and with what's happening at Gateway. I mean, what a risky endeavor. He makes it seem like it was no big deal, but really, realistically, I think it was very tough to have success at that track, but they did it somehow. We have this Indy driver Felix Rosenquist in tomorrow on the show, Bruce Sutter for KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame Week. I am joined by my friend Jessica Radloff, who's the West Coast entertainment correspondent for Glamour Magazine. She's also our entertainment correspondent. She gets lots of compensation for that. Have we renegotiated your contract on that, or is that like, are the agents working that out right now?
No, I'm still not getting paid.
But it's such a nice experience, isn't it, Jessica? To be with your buddy Mark?
I'm so happy to be with my buddy Mark. Listen, the things I do for free just because I love St. Louis. How's that? You know?
I love it. I love it. All right, so here's something. And my mom and dad, I think, are listening to this. My mom loves, what do we call it? DWTS, right? Dancing with the Stars. Christy Brinkley, Hannah Brown of The Bachelorette. I have no idea who that is. Former White House Press Secretary Spicy. Sean Spicer is going to be on Dancing with the Stars this season, right?
Correct. Yes, and it's been met with a lot of backlash so far.
I'm guessing because of Hannah Brown.
Oh, absolutely. The Bachelorette, you know, she had one crazy season. So, yeah, the backlash is all about her for Dancing with the Stars.
But, no, in all seriousness, so what happened was is Tom Bergeron is the co-host, and he tweets, he thought this would be a joyful respite from our exhausting political climate and urged them not to have any divisive bookings, and they did exactly the opposite, it looks like, or at least that's what he thinks.
Right. I have two things that I can say about this. One, I was actually very surprised about Sean Spicer's announcement that he was going to do Dancing with the Stars because it's been over 2 years since he was press secretary. I feel like there was talk about him doing it perhaps the season after he left the White House. So 2 years later seems a little bit odd timing. So I understand what he's saying in that regard. In the same way, you know, what they're really trying to do here is get viewers. Dancing's numbers have kind of declined a little bit, you know, and I think they took this last year, the last cycle off. There was not a Dancing with the Stars in the spring season. So it was really important for them to go big and to create a lot of buzz going into this next season because Dancing really is a once-a-year show now, and they certainly did that because what is everybody talking about today is Sean Spicer being on Dancing with the Stars. No matter how you feel about it, it's creating
buzz.
That's
right. That's right. And I've never, I mean, the only time I ever talk about Dancing with the Stars is with you or when my mom mentions it because she brings it up. But that's interesting because, look, this comes right from the Donald J. Trump school of no publicity is bad publicity. They're getting a lot of attention. Let me mention some of the other folks on here because I don't know everyone. Lauren Alanis, she's a country star. Allie Brooke, who's Allie Brooke?
She was a member of Fifth Harmony, so she actually has a really big following, yeah.
Mary Wilson.
The Supremes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes perfect
sense. She's the oldest member this season. I believe she's 75 years old, and she has so much energy, and she's so fun. So I actually think she might go, she might do well in this competition.
That's awesome. All right, well, so I should have known just from that name, but I thought it was just some other Mary Wilson. Lamar Odom and Ray Lewis, I do know. Let's see here. Kate Flannery, who's that?
She's from The Office. I have been petitioning this whole time to get Phyllis Smith, you know, of course,
St. Louis
native. I think Phyllis would have been great because Phyllis was actually a cheerleader back in the day. I think Phyllis would have been amazing on Dancing with the Stars. So I can still petition for her down the line, but it's Kate Flannery who plays Meredith on The Office.
Okay, I just didn't recognize her name. Of course I know who she is. Karamo Brown.
From Queer Eye. So he, again, like, that's a huge... I feel like this is the first season of Dancing in a while where the names are a lot more recognizable than they have been. A lot of times, myself included, I'll be like, who is that person? And
Kel
this is
Mitchell.
The first time.
Like, who's Kel Mitchell?
He is a comedian. I believe he hails from Chicago, and he was on the new version of All That for Nickelodeon. So he's a really well-known comedian and talented actor, too. So
and then there's
he's a great addition.
Studley James Vanderbeek. You're talking about Spicy not being relevant. How's that guy relevant?
James Vanderbeek? Well, yeah. He was just on the first season of Pose on FX. Which
of course he was. How could I forget that, Jessica?
Yeah, so he's, you know, and a lot of people are also upset because they're saying Sean Spicer is taking away from the fact that James Vanderbeek is on Dancing with the Stars. So a lot of people are really excited about him. I feel like for the first time, again, in a long time, you've got a lot of the younger demographic, like that 25 to 54 age group, that has a reason to tune into Dancing with the Stars for either James Vanderbeek, for Hannah Brown, for Karamo Brown. So there's a lot of, you know, great young people in the mix.
I'm watching it for Spicy. I'm setting the DVR for Spicy.
You are watching it for
I just want to see how bad he is, really.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be interesting. That's for sure. It's a buzzy cast list this year, so, and it's already creating a lot of buzz more than it has in years past. So it has that working in its favor for sure.
J-Rad is my guest. Can we start calling you that? Jessica Radloff, West Coast
Please
Entertainment
do so.
Editor. Yeah, I like that. For Glamour Magazine. So a couple other things. We're going to do some Emmy stuff here in a few weeks as we get closer to the awards. And when the nominations come out, we visited with you a month ago. But let's talk about some of the new shows. And I follow Jessica on social. She does a great job on Instagram and Twitter. And you get to see, and I do this to a certain extent, certainly with the movies. I don't get to see as many of the television shows in advance. But here's what's interesting. I'm seeing some shows being advertised right now, Jessica, mm-hmm. as we get closer to the new season. And I'm not a big, I've told you this before, and you've criticized me, I think, I'm not a big network comedy or network drama guy, but I've seen a couple of ads that have piqued my interest on the network. So have you seen any of these new shows?
Yes, I've seen some of the new shows, and I have to tell you, my favorite new show of the fall, it's on broadcast, and it's on ABC, and it's Mixed-ish. It is the spinoff of Black-ish, and it follows Tracy Ellis Ross's character in the 80s when she was coming of age, and Mark Paul Gosselaar plays her father.
Nice.
The cast is amazing. The kids are going to be stars just right after the first episode. It's really funny. It shows a lot of potential. It was my favorite new show of the new fall season, so I'm excited. I'm excited to have people see that, and of course, just talk in general about the new shows coming out. So,
have you seen Deep State on Fox?
No, I haven't seen Deep State yet.
Here's why I ask about that. You know, and I've seen some of the ads. I love Walton Goggins. You know who Walton Goggins was from?
Of course,
Justified.
I do.
He's just great, and I almost want to watch anything. He was in Vice Principals, the Danny McBride show a couple of years ago, which was just outstanding. Really, really wrong in all kinds of ways. But I just love Walton Goggins. And so that one sort of interests me a little bit just because I like him so much.
He's in The Unicorn on CBS this fall, actually.
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking about here, The Unicorn. I'm seeing,
what's Deep State?
Deep State might have been I think that was actually a show that got canceled. See, I'm looking
thing.
Never
mind.
Okay, well, here's why I was confused. I'm just going to tell you right now. I went to IMDb, didn't know what the damn show was that he's on, and there's one show that says Invincible, which is just voice work, so I don't even know what that is. And then I'm like, well, what's this new show? And I see this Deep State, which I never saw, and no one else did. The Unicorn is the one. Yes, The Unicorn. Sorry,
I
messed
that up.
The Unicorn.
No, he does. I'm looking it up online right now. Yeah, there's a show called Deep State that he's also an executive producer. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Yeah, we don't care about that. I'm talking about The Unicorn.
Oh, it's a British television espionage thriller series. That's what that is.
This says
first broadcast in the UK, but that doesn't concern us. So
no,
let's talk about him on The Unicorn.
Yeah, it says a widower is eager to move on from the most difficult year of his life, only to realize he's utterly unprepared to raise his two daughters on his own and equally unprepared for the dating world where he's suddenly a hot commodity. Hey, join us on Thursday nights on CBS for The Unicorn. How's that?
I've watched it. I have to say, I'm friends with a lot of television critics. A lot of them did like it.
You like Deep State better, I can tell.
I like Deep State better, exactly. I thought the unicorn was a little contrived. It's sweet. It means well. It wasn't my cup of tea, exactly. But I'll watch another episode to see. I really will. So it's one of the better shows, I would say, but it didn't, for me, it just felt like a little much at times. But
I got to tell you a funny story that you'd appreciate. Maybe I told you this before, but there was one, you were at this award show, the Critics' Choice Television Awards, many years ago, before you were a member of the voting organization. And I was there. I know you were on the red carpet, and Walton Goggins was there. He was nominated for, it wasn't Justified, it was something else. But anyway,
it was Deep State.
It was probably Deep State. So I went up to him and said, look, I love Timothy Oliphant, and I had interviewed him a couple of times. And I just introduced myself to Walton, and I wanted a picture. And I'm so stupid. I'm looking for someone to take the picture. I hand my phone to John Landgraf. And I knew who I was. I knew I was handing the phone to John Landgraf. Now, you know who John Landgraf is.
I know. Most of the listeners don't know who John Landgraf is.
John Landgraf is the guy who runs FX. He's the president of the FX, and he's the guy making the decisions on all those shows. And like a dummy, I hand my iPhone to him because I want a picture with Walton Goggins, which I thought, in retrospect, it's actually kind of funny.
But he did it, right?
No, someone stepped in and
said, oh, Jesus.
No, because I think the person who was, there were three people, and whoever else was there was like, I'll do it. But I think he would have. I don't think he really cared that much, but it was sort of funny. So I'm an idiot. Another area where I proved myself to be an idiot, Jessica. So look, I know you're in town, but you were busy with some stuff, and I hope you're having a good time here in St. Louis. We'll get you back in the studio very, very soon as well. Anything else you want to share this afternoon?
I can't wait. It's very humid out there. I know because I took a mile walk to go get coffee before, and I regret every minute of it.
They have these things called cars now. And
I know,
Ubers.
But I wanted to get my exercise in.
Have you gotten to the ballpark at all this week?
No. My poor mom, she had a pulmonary embolism. So we have been kind of dealing with that this week. Thank God she's doing better now, but it's no ballpark this week.
Well, wish mom well. She came in last time, so I hope she's doing okay. Jess, we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you.
That's
Thanks
J-Rad.
So much,
J-Rad
Mark.
With us this afternoon. Jessica Radloff on KMOX.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Store, supporting St. Louis Arches for 16 years. We all know that President Trump is a huge, huge fan of the mainstream media. So he held a 37-minute media availability earlier today. And when there was a question asked by Peter Alexander from NBC News about Joe Biden, whether or not it was appropriate for the president to criticize the gaffes of who he calls Sleepy Joe, when he also has made mistakes like calling Dayton Toledo, things along those lines.
This guy is the most biased reporter, NBC. You know, I made a lot of money for NBC with The Apprentice, and I used to like them, but they are the most biased. Peter is such a bias. You should be able to ask a question, same question, in a better way. You are so obviously biased. And that's why the public has no confidence in the media.
So he did not like that question. Then he went to the issue of Sleepy Joe.
Joe Biden doesn't have it. Let me just tell you about Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't have it.
And he ripped the New York Times.
Well, I think the New York Times now has totally lost credibility. They've given up on the Russian collusion delusion. And now what they're doing is they're trying the racist deal. And that's not going to work because I am the least racist person ever to serve in office, okay? I am the least racist person. But the New York Times, they're trying everything they can. It is a totally dishonest newspaper. It's a paper that really has lost tremendous credibility. And let me tell you, in 6 years, or maybe 10 or maybe 14, right? In 6 years, when I'm not here, the New York Times goes out of business very quickly.
Well, he's putting a little deadline on his life, I think, there. Although he did leave the window up to 14 years. That's the president. Your audio cuts of the day this afternoon. Tunnel Information PM is coming up next. Roger will kick us off with traffic in 3 minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.